Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Blessed the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed they who are persecuted on account of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are ye when they may reproach and persecute you, and say every wicked thing against you, lying for my sake. Rejoice and exult, for your reward is great in the heavens, for thus have they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We shared before on this matter of the word of the cross. We mentioned that the cross of our Lord Jesus is not only a fact, but it has a message for each one of us. We need to know the fact, to believe, receive the message that comes out of the cross. And then we also shared about this matter of the way of the cross. The cross is not only just an act, but it is a way in which we are to walk throughout our life, following the Lamb, whithersoever He goes. Now this morning we would like to share together on this matter of the spirit of the cross. The cross is not only a fact, it is not only dealings with us, it is not only a way that we can walk in, but we do find that the cross is a spirit. Unless that spirit of the cross comes upon us, we still have not entered into the significance of the cross. I read a book written by Gordon Watt, and the title of that book is The Meaning of the Cross. There is a subtitle there, and the subtitle of that book is The Mold of the Cross. He said, our Lord Jesus Christ has just one mold for producing Christian character, and that is the cross. You and I cannot reach our goal except in the way in which He reached His goal. And the cross is the mold through which He puts each one who is to express Him here and reign with Him hereafter. Now, in other words, when we really know the cross, it will develop within us a character, a spirit. We may call it the spirit of the cross. It will mark us out as people with that spirit. It becomes our very character. It is more than just an understanding, an appropriation, a dealing, or even a surrender. It becomes a life, a lifestyle, a life principle. It becomes supernaturally natural to us, to all our actions and reactions. It marks us out as such a people. Now this is the spirit of the cross. We remember our Lord Jesus. He is called the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God has become His name, His title. From the foundation of the world, He is the Lamb slain. When He was on earth, He is called the Lamb of God. And of course we know, as the Lamb of God, He went to the cross. And there, He died for us. After He was resurrected, you remember how He showed His wounds to Thomas. And even after He was ascended, there you find the Lamb slain in the midst of the throne. In other words, you find our Lord Jesus has with Him that spirit of the Lamb. That Lamb's spirit is the spirit of the cross. And we who follow the Lamb need to be marked with the same spirit. You remember the Apostle Paul, when he conclude his epistle to the Galatian believers. You know, it was a very difficult letter for him to write. But he conclude that letter with these words. He said, "Now, let no one trouble me anymore, because I have the brands of Jesus Christ with me." In other words, you find there is a stigmata of the Lord Jesus, the marks of the Lord Jesus in the life of the Apostle Paul. So, dear brothers and sisters, the challenge to each one of us is this. We may have heard the word of the cross. We may have experienced something of what the cross has done for us. We may know forgiveness. We may know separation. We may know deliverance. And we may even know something of the victory of the cross. And we may even walk somehow in the way of the cross and know something of the dealing with the selfhood, with the I, with the ego. But dear brothers and sisters, it is not just a dealing, a surrender, an experience, here and there. You'll find the meaning of the cross is that we should be so molded by it that we will be characterized as the people of the cross. In other words, we have that Lamb spirit with us all the time. And that is the meaning of the cross. Now, to illustrate it, I think probably the best illustration will be found on the seven words that our Lord Jesus spoke on the cross. Because we know words are really openings. By words, the spirit within are being poured forth. So on the cross of our Lord Jesus, when He spoke that seven words, through these words, He poured forth His spirit to us. And I think by this, we can understand somewhat of what the spirit of the cross is. Of course, the first word that our Lord Jesus spoke on the cross is found in Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was just being nailed to that cross. He was just being lifted up on that cross. And then you find the first word he uttered was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, brothers and sisters, think of the circumstances. You find that these men, they just nail him to the cross. And they surrounded the cross, they mock him. They abuse him. They ridicule him. They laugh at him. In that kind of circumstances, suddenly you find our Lord Jesus began to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a different spirit this is. There is no bitterness. There is only love. You know, our Lord Jesus has every right to ask the Father for vengeance, that he will bring judgment upon the world. He has every right to do that. And yet, instead of calling down revenge, he asked the Father to forgive. As a matter of fact, he could pray that prayer. Why? Because there on the cross, he offered himself as our substitute. God is just, and his justice has to be satisfied. God just cannot forgive without his justice satisfied. But here you find our Lord Jesus, because he has offered himself as the sin offering unto God. Therefore, he has the right to pray such a prayer. Father, forgive. And his prayer is answered. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the spirit of the cross? The spirit of the cross is forgiving love. You remember since the day that our Lord Jesus was crucified, throughout church history, from the first Christian martyr, Stephen, down to our time, you find that the last cry of the martyrs is always this: do not lay this sin upon. Forgive. The spirit of forgiveness is the very spirit of the cross. Now, brothers and sisters, you know our greatest problem in the church today is the lack of the spirit of forgiveness. We find among God's people, you know, because we are so close to each other. Now, if we can keep a distance from each other, we can afford to be kind, gentle, courteous. But because God has thrown us together in such an intimate way, we work together, we serve together, we worship together. And because we are so close together, we begin to know each other better, and we begin to step upon each other more. Because of that, you'll find it is inevitable that among God's people, there will be plenty of opportunities for us to be offended. Brothers and sisters, when such thing happened, what is our spirit? Is it our spirit that we will call for vengeance on our brothers and sisters? Or is it the time that we ask our Father to forgive? An unforgiving spirit hinders the blessing of the Lord. Not only to the person himself or herself, but it hinders God's blessing to the whole church. Brothers and sisters, if we are followers of the Lamb, do we have such a spirit of forgiveness? No matter how much our brothers and sisters may offend us, and these offenses may be very real, they hurt us, we are deeply hurt, but brothers and sisters, if we look at the Lamb, if we know the spirit of the cross, there's nothing else we can do but to forgive. You remember Peter? Peter is a very open person, straightforward, blunt, rough. And one day he came to the Lord and said, "My brother has offended me 7 times, and I forgave him." Now that's very difficult for Peter. So Peter felt that he had quite an accomplishment. But after forgiving his brother 7 times, he felt the 8th time didn't seem to be logical anymore. So he came to the Lord and said, "Will that be enough?" And you remember the Lord said, "I do not tell you 7 times. It is 70 times 7. Now, it doesn't mean that you just count, multiply it. But it means that you just forget it. It has come to such a great amount that you just do not count them anymore. You do not remember them anymore. In other words, you forgive, 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 and forgive. And the Lord used a parable. You know, sometimes what the Lord said does not sink into our heart. We may think that, well, that's very unreasonable. So the Lord used a parable, and he used a parable. A master has servants, and one of the servants owed him 10,000 talents. I do not know how he accumulated that amount. But he owed 10,000 talents. He could never repay this amount. And he begged for mercy. And the master forgave him. When he left the presence of the master, he found another fellow servant. Only 100 denarii. That is the wages of 100 days. A little. And he said, "Pay. Otherwise, go to jail." And he put him to jail. And the master heard about it and said, "Now, if I have forgiven you so much, should you not forgive your brother?" Now, brothers and sisters, is it not true? If we only realize how much we are forgiven. We are those people who owe the Lord 10,000 talents. Even if we sell ourselves, our family, everything, we cannot repay it. It is beyond us. And yet our Lord Jesus, in his great mercy, he asked the Father to forgive us. We are forgiven much. And should we not forgive those who offend us? This is the spirit of the cross. Are we a people marked by such a spirit? You know, we have such wonderful memory. The good that others do for us, we forget altogether. But if our brother or sister will do us just one time, a tiny little thing that hurts us, we just cannot forget. We cannot forget. We cannot forgive. It's always there. Every time we see that brother and sister, there is something stirring within us. An unforgiving spirit. A bitter spirit. And that is the reason why we do not grow properly in the Lord. That is the reason why we find so much problem in the church. Brother and brother, sister and sister, brothers and sisters, just cannot be of one mind, of one spirit, of one love. It is because of an unforgiving spirit. Now remember this. The spirit of the cross is the spirit of forgiving. Now the second word that our Lord spoke on the cross is also found in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, our Lord Jesus was crucified between two robbers. And even at the beginning, both of these robbers, they were wicked people. And even when they were crucified on the cross, they mocked the Lord Jesus. They ridiculed the Lord Jesus. But something happened. I wonder whether it is when one of the robbers heard the prayer of our Lord Jesus to the Father. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I wonder if that prayer touched the heart of this robber. He was deeply touched, convicted, because he knew he died because he deserved it. But that man is innocent. He has done nothing bad. And somehow the Spirit of God opened his understanding. And brothers and sisters, you will be surprised. What an understanding the Spirit of God has given to him at the very last of his life. He turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." Now, isn't that wonderful? Here was a man crucified. And yet the robber said, "Remember me when you come in thy kingdom." He believed that this man who was crucified is indeed the king. Even though he was crucified, yet his kingdom will come. And he asked that he be remembered. And the Lord Jesus said, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Not in the future. You don't need to wait until the future. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. And we all know that paradise is the place where those who are accepted by God go. It is the resting place of the saints who fell asleep in the Lord. In other words, the Lord said, "You are forgiven. You are saved. You are redeemed." The first word of our Lord Jesus was spoken to the Father. The second word, he spoke to the sinner. The first word to the Father was, "Forgive them." The second word is, "You are forgiven." Brothers and sisters, what grace that is. This robber deserved nothing. He had done so much evil, even in the eyes of society. He was deserved to be put away. And he knew it. He deserved it. And yet you find our Lord Jesus pour forth his grace to that robber and say, today shall you be with me in paradise. So what is the spirit of the cross? The spirit of the cross is the spirit of grace. Are we a people of grace? We who have received grace upon grace. Grace is something freely given. Grace is something that you do not earn. It is something given to you freely. Not because you are worthy. Not because you deserve it. Not because you have done something to earn it, to gain it, to win it. But grace is depending upon the person who gives you grace. And here you find our Lord Jesus on the cross. Pour forth his grace upon that robber. Now we who have received much grace, should we not have the same character as our Lord Jesus had, that we be a people gracious? We be a people who give grace to other people. You know, brothers and sisters, we are very gracious with ourselves, but we are very strict with other people. We forgive ourselves, excuse ourselves, pardon ourselves, explain away, and very gracious to ourselves. But when we come to other people, how do we deal with other people? We feel that we have to deal with them according to what they deserve. We find it is very difficult for us to be gracious to people. It is because we forget that how much grace we have received. You know, the definition of grace, according to the original word, is not only means that there is something beautiful, something pleasant in that person or that thing. So when you look at that thing or at that person, it will give you a kind of peace, comfortable sensation, because there in that thing or that person is something called grace. And then grace in the original language means not only there is something beautiful there in that person, but this something beautiful and good in that person is being transmitted, passed on to you freely. That's grace. But grace, in the original language, has the third meaning. It means that those who have received grace, in turn, becomes gracious. But brothers and sisters, we all know that our Lord Jesus, he is full of grace. He is so beautiful. And thank God we all have received grace from him and upon grace. But has grace done its work in our lives? Has grace transformed us? Are we just receiving grace for ourselves and yet it never transforms us? It never delivers us from our pettiness. It never delivers us from our selfhood, selfishness. It should transform us. Otherwise, we waste the grace of God. That is the spirit of the cross. And then you find our Lord Jesus said the third word. It is found in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. When our Lord was crucified on the cross, some women were at the foot of the cross. And the mother of our Lord Jesus was there. And all the disciples, only John was there at the foot of the cross. So here you find in John chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus therefore, seeing his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, says to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he says unto his disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. How perfect is our Lord as a human being? You remember when he was a boy? When he was 12 years old? And he was conscious that God, his Father, had called him to be occupied with his Father's business. How he stayed behind in the temple. And then his parents came back after 3 days and found him in the temple attending the Father's business. And the mother said, "Now why, lad, you do this to us?" And the Lord said, "Don't you know that I must be occupied with my Father's business?" And yet after he said that, he went home with his parents and obeyed them. Probably one of the reasons why our Lord Jesus did not begin his ministry until he was 30 years old. Probably one of the reasons is because, humanly speaking, he was the firstborn in that family. And the father seemed to pass away because he, Joseph, was not mentioned anymore. So there you find probably he had a responsibility in that house. He had to supply the needs for the family. He had to work as a carpenter to support the family, to help bring up his brothers and sisters. And maybe it is because of this he didn't come out to minister until he was 30 years old. Because by then his brothers and sisters have grown up and they could take over something. But you find our Lord Jesus as a human being, how he fulfilled all the duties and obligations that a human being carries. You know, sometimes we become so spiritual that we become unnatural anymore. You know, we are so spiritual that we forget our obligation and duties as a human being. But here you'll find even to the very last, when our Lord Jesus was on the cross, how he must suffer at that time. But he was not thinking of himself. He was still thinking of his mother. He wanted to provide for his mother. So he said, "Mother, look at your son." And to John, "Look at your mother." And John took Mary to his home and took care of her. So even to the very last, you find how our Lord Jesus fulfilled all his duties and obligations as a human being. Brothers and sisters, should we be less human? I think it is a gross mistake to think that to be spiritual, you have to be inhuman. I remember our dear brother Watchman Nee used to say, "First be a human, and then you can be spiritual." If you are not human, you can never be spiritual.
But I think what our Lord Jesus said, this third word, I believe there is much more than just this physical arrangement. To me, I feel when the Lord Jesus bring his mother and his disciples together to be one family, I think it speaks something to us. In other words, it is the cross that brings us together into one family. We belong to different families. We may have many distinctions, backgrounds, but the cross takes away all the distinctions and brings those who are near and to afar together into one. By the cross, they made peace, not only between us and God, but peace with one another. He has brought us together to be one family. Do we have this family feeling? Do we really see that we belong to each other? Are we just taking care of ourselves? How our Lord Jesus said, we need to love one another as he has loved us. We need to care for one another as he has cared for us. Why? Because we belong to one another. We are of one family. And it is the cross that brings us into that family. And it is the cross that maintains us in the family. You know, we are of the family of God. But sometimes we feel we would like to leave that family. Sometimes we feel we do not belong. Sometimes we feel we want to go somewhere else. Maybe it is because what we want is not supplied. Maybe it is because we are hurt by our brothers and sisters. Maybe it is because our earthly background, things are too strong for us, pulling us away from our brothers and sisters. For instance, through the cross of our Lord Jesus, all the distinctions, social distinctions, cultural distinctions, racial distinctions, national distinctions, all these distinctions are gone. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, neither barbarians nor Scythians, neither bondman nor freeman, because there the cross has dealt away all these distinctions. We belong to one family, the family of God. We belong to one another. But brothers and sisters, sometimes we try to bring our earthly distinctions into the church. When we bring these things into the church, it divides the family. But if we look at the cross, what our Lord Jesus has done for us, what suffering he has gone through, what cost it cost him in order to bring us together into one family. Brothers and sisters, do you not think we need to allow the cross to work in our lives? To cross out all these distinctions and find that in Christ we are one. We are one family. Now that is the spirit of the cross. Our Lord Jesus was on the cross from approximately 9 o'clock in the morning until 12 noon. And we know during that 3 hours, he was surrounded by the people mocking him, laughing at him. And not only that, but in the unseen world, you find that during those 3 hours, he was surrounded by the powers of darkness attacking him. He suffered. But then at 12 o'clock, the whole thing changed. There you find the sun was darkened. Nobody could see him anymore. And there alone, hanging there, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, it is at that time that God accepted him as the offering for sin. And because of that, according to Isaiah 53 verse 10, he said, God himself crushed him. God himself bruised him. Why? Because he was made a sin offering for the world. And there you find our Lord Jesus, who was with the Father even before time, in eternity. He and the Father, their communion was so sweet. There was no shadow. There was no shade. And even when he was on earth, he always pleased the Father. And the heaven opens and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, you find that even from eternity, through time, his communion with the Father was never for a second interrupted. There was sweet communion. And it was this that gave him strength to endure all the ridicule, all the sufferings from the seen and the unseen foes. But there at that time, you find the Father left him. The hours he literally tasted hell. Literally tasted for us the second death. You know, brothers and sisters, what is hell? What is second death? It is separation from the living God. And there you'll find our Lord Jesus, he was separated from the living God. He could not cry out, Father. He could only say, my God, my God. Because he took our stand as a man, full man. He died. Supreme sacrifice. There he willingly sacrificed himself. Brothers and sisters, we can never understand how much he sacrificed for us. This is the spirit of the cross. And this spirit must characterize us. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is true. We have no part in that atoning work of our Lord Jesus. He trod the winepress alone for us. He who knows no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He is alone there. We have no part in that atoning work. We can only receive from it forgiveness. But we are called to have fellowship with his sufferings. There is a part of his sufferings that we are called to have fellowship with. And you'll find throughout the centuries, there have been people who know that fellowship. Think of Moses. When the children of Israel worship the golden calf, and God wants to wipe out that nation and make Moses a nation. Bless him. How Moses pleaded before God. And in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, he said, Lord, forgive them. If not, block out my name from the book that you have written. In other words, he was willing to be blocked out of the book of life in order to save this rebellious people. Now that is the spirit of the cross. And in the New Testament we have another example, Paul. There in Romans chapter 9 verse 3, he said, I wish, and it is true, honest, I wish that I become to be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen in the flesh. In other words, his love for his kinsmen, his brethren, was so great that he was willing to be accursed if these could be blessed. Now that is the spirit of the cross. Brothers and sisters, are we marked by that spirit? Have we been molded by that spirit? The Lord Jesus said, love one another. As I have laid down my life for you, lay down your life for your brethren. Is any sacrifice too great for us, for our brothers and sisters? Are we willing to lay down our life for others? What a different spirit we have. We want our brothers and sisters to lay down their lives for us. But for us to lay down our life for them is out of the question. We do not have the spirit of the cross. How much has the cross has molded us? Are we still the same? As if we know nothing about the cross. If we know something of the cross, brothers and sisters, to sacrifice ourselves to complete our brothers and sisters is nothing hard. And then you find towards the end of that 6 hours on the cross. We go back to the fourth, the fifth word. That is in John chapter 19, verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. There was a vessel, therefore, there filled with vinegar, and having filled a sponge with vinegar, and putting hyssop round it, they put it to his mouth. You know, when our Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is a spiritual cry. A cry of spiritual sufferings. In other words, so far as the spirit of our Lord Jesus is concerned, he suffered to the fullest extent because his spirit was separated from God, the Spirit. So that intense suffering in his spirit caused him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But here you find he cried out again. He said, I thirst. This is a cry due to his physical suffering. You know, it is a fulfillment of Psalm 69. Because in Psalm 69 it says, when I'm hungry, they give me gall. When I'm thirsty, they give me vinegar. Through that 6 hours, almost 6 hours on the cross, our Lord Jesus never thought of his physical sufferings. You know, if you are crucified on the cross, what else could you think about? Tremendous suffering. But during those 6 hours, he never had a thought of himself. He thought of the people crucified him. He thought of the robber by his side. He thought of the mother and the disciple. He never thought of himself. Only to the very end, he became conscious of his extreme suffering. Excruciating sufferings physically. Now do not think that our Lord Jesus, even though he was crucified, he did not suffer because he was God. He suffered tremendously. If you read Psalm 22, how the psalmist, in that prophetic foresight, saw what our Lord Jesus went through on the cross. How his life was poured out like water. How his bones were all out of joint. How his heart was melted like wax. And how he was so thirsty that his tongue will stick cleave to his upper palate. Brothers and sisters, you find that the blood of our Lord Jesus, the whole body, the blood had been so drained. And when your blood is drained, of course you're thirsty. And he say, I thirst. But I believe there is something more. It is said that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. I believe there is something more when he said, I thirst. We read in Psalm 42, we sang that chorus just before, as the heart painted after the water brooks, so painted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I believe when our Lord Jesus said, I thirst, it is more than just a physical thirst. I believe that being a sin offering on the cross, being separated from God, and the work of redemption was almost done, you find at the very last, he said, I thirst. No matter what I have gone through, no matter God has hidden his face from me, no matter God crushed me, I still thirst for him.
there is such absolute trust, confidence in God. Brothers and sisters, we remember Job. That man Job once said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Our Lord Jesus was not offended by God. If anyone could be offended by God, he should be. Because he had every reason to see the smiling face of the Father. But here you find God turn his face from him. But he was not offended. He said, I thirst. As the heart panted after water brooks, so my soul panted after thee. My soul thirsted for the living God. Dear brothers and sisters, how easily we are offended. Even John the Baptist, he was almost offended. Because the Lord didn't do what he expected him to do. The Lord seemed to neglect him. The Lord did good to many people, but forgot him, as if. He was almost offended, but the Lord said, blessed are those who are not offended by me. Is it not that in our Christian walk, sometimes the Lord does not do what you expect him to do? You may have every right to expect him to do, because you have his word. It is as if he goes back on his word. He allows things to happen, and you cannot explain it. And there is no way out. It looks like death. The end. Brothers and sisters, are you offended? Do you at that point cry out and say, I thirst after you? No matter what you did to me, I believe in you. I trust in you. You are trustworthy. I know it. That is the spirit of the cross. May we be a people marked as such. And then the sixth word. It is also found in John chapter 19. Verse 30. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And in other version, other gospel we find, he shouted out with a loud shout, it is finished. In other words, he gathered up the last of his remaining strength. You know, a person who is dying, his voice will be very low because there's no strength anymore. But here you find our Lord Jesus gathered up the remaining of his last strength and he shouted out, it is finished. It is a shout of victory. It is not defeat. Outwardly, it looked like a defeat. But actually, it is a victory. He said, it is finished. The work of redemption is done. The mission accomplished. What a shout of victory it is. And when he shouted that shout, you know what happened? There in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple, the veil was rent from top to bottom. the way to the holiest is open for us to enter. Brothers and sisters, the spirit of the cross is not a spirit of defeat. Oftentimes we must misunderstand. When we talk about the cross, well, it gives you feeling of negativeness, feeling of defeat. Oh, I suffer. Oh, I die. You know, that kind of negative feeling. But that is not the spirit of the cross. The spirit of the cross is the cry of victory. Oftentimes we find people say, well, I'm bearing the cross. Look at me. How I bear the cross. How I suffer. Brothers and sisters, that is no cross. If you're really bearing the cross, you find strength in the cross of Christ. You find rest and you can shout the victory. By the cross, you conquer. That is the spirit of the cross. And finally, the seventh. After he said it is finished, then you look chapter 23 again. Luke 23, verse 46. And Jesus, having cried with a loud cry, said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Well, of course, this is a fulfillment of Psalm 31, verse 5. During the 3 hours, the work of redemption was done. So he said, it is finished. And after that work is done, his relation with his Father was restored. So there you find he said, Father. That was his last word, Father. That relationship is restored. And he said, I commit my spirit. You know, no one take the life of our Lord Jesus away. You remember he said, no one take my life away. I lay it down and I take it up. So in other words, it is not those people who crucified him that take his life away. He dismissed his own life. He said, I commit my spirit to the Father. He dismissed it. He laid it down. Us. And he committed his spirit to the Father, knowing that his Father will raise him from the dead. Perfect faith. And sure enough, the Father raised him from the dead to prove that he is the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, the spirit of the cross is the spirit of perfect faith. He can trust himself completely to the Father, knowing that the Father will do all things right. Now this is the spirit of the cross. If we know the cross, brothers and sisters, the cross will give us that faith. It is because we try to escape from the cross. Therefore, we miss the opportunity of believing. But if we take up the cross, faith will be given to us. We can believe that God does all things well. Now this is the spirit of the cross.
So here we find, if we know the cross, then the cross will not be just something external, outside of us, a doctrine, a teaching for us to talk about. If we really know the cross, you find it is not just some dealings here and there. Of course, we need these dealings. But if we really know the cross, you find the cross will be planted within our soul. And it will reshape us, mold us, so that we may have the Lamb's Spirit within us. We become the people of the cross. And that is what God is doing. I read the Beatitudes at the beginning. I don't have time to go into it. But you find there, these are the people blessed by God. These are the sons of the kingdom of the heavens. Who are they? They are the people of the cross. They are poor in spirit because the cross has worked in their life. They are those who mourn because the cross has so worked in them. They are in continuous repentance with a contrite spirit before God. They are the merciful because they are the meek. That is selfless because the cross has crossed out their self. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are thirsty after God. They are meek. They are lowly. Merciful, because they know mercy. They are pure in heart. They have nothing in their heart but God. They are the peacemakers, because they know what peace is. And for the sake of Christ, they are being persecuted, and yet they rejoice. Brothers and sisters, these are the people of the cross. So our problem is, do we know the cross? Is there any scar, any wound in our lives? Do we have the marks of the Lord Jesus in our body? May the Lord have mercy upon us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we can only come to Thee and say, may Thy cross be so implanted in us that it will transform us, fashion us, mold us according to Thy beloved Son, the Lamb of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.